Hello, welcome back to Coffee with a Calvinist. This is a daily conversation about scripture, culture, and media from a Reformed perspective. Get your Bible and coffee ready and prepare to engage today's topic. Here's your host, Pastor Keith Foskey.
Welcome back to Coffee with a Calvinist. My name is Keith Foskey, and I am a Calvinist. I'm coming to you today again with our caffeinated Calvinist roundtable talking about a very serious issue. What is the greatest Christmas movie of all time? Now, today is day two. We have been going down the rankings, and when I say we, I'm talking about my roundtable companions, Brother Sam Brown and Richard Roden. Sam, say hello.
Hey, people.
And Brother Richard, say hello.
What's going on, folks?
All right. We're glad that you're with us today. And basically what we're doing is this. We had a list of Christmas movies. We've broken that list down into four categories: old classics, new classics or modern classics, animated classics, and Christmas action movies. And we allowed people on Facebook to vote for their favorites. And we've used those votes to create rankings. And we're now putting these movies head-to-head in a tournament style, going all the way down to what is the greatest Christmas movie. Today is day two. We're hoping this will be a three-day video for you guys to see. And if you're listening to this on a podcast, I want to encourage you, maybe switch today and actually go to YouTube and watch it on YouTube or on Facebook. We'll have the video up there, because you'll actually see the ranking board that we have and be able to follow along a little easier. So today we're going to be looking at animated classics. Under animated classics, our top seed, top ranked, according to Facebook, was Charlie Brown Christmas. The second was Dr. Seuss, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the 60s version. The third is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. The fourth is Mickey's Christmas Carol. Fifth is Frosty the Snowman. And sixth was Polar Express. And what we do is we take the top-ranked video, or the top-ranked film against the bottom-ranked, the second against the next to the bottom, and basically we build the tournament scale like that. So it's going to be Charlie Brown Christmas versus Polar Express, Grinch, How the Grinch Stole Christmas versus Frosty the Snowman, Rudolph versus Mickey's Christmas Carol. And then we're going to move over to Christmas action, Die Hard, Gremlins, Batman Returns, Scrooged, Lethal Weapon, and First Blood. These are all movies that we would call Christmas action movies or action movies set at Christmas. And we're going to even debate whether or not we should even include these as action or as Christmas movies. So we'll get to that in just a moment. But let's go back to our animated classics. Sam and Richard, are you ready for this heated debate?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's roll.
All right, so let's look first at a Charlie Brown Christmas versus the Polar Express. I'm going to start with this one and say I haven't seen a Polar Express, so I don't want to be the tiebreaker here. So I'm just going to go ahead and say, because I haven't seen Polar Express, I've only seen bits and pieces of it. I'll say this, though. The characters look weird, the eyes look scary, and nobody beats Linus giving the Luke 2 Christmas story at the end of a Charlie Brown Christmas. So I vote Charlie Brown Christmas 100% all the way. So that's my vote.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Well, I'll go ahead and step in on this. I've seen Polar Express. I've seen it once, and that's all I need to see it. It was weird to me. The animation was weird to me too. I mean, Tom Hanks, everybody does a good job with their acting and all, but it's just weird. But I agree with you with Charlie Brown Christmas, especially with the Luke 2 scripture read at the end. And something interesting, I don't know if y'all may have heard this before, but maybe some of your listeners haven't. Something that was brought to my attention, I'd never noticed before either, concerning that when he quotes scripture on stage, you know, Linus carries the blanket around all the time. But when he starts quoting the scripture, he drops the blanket, and his blanket is a security blanket. When he starts talking about Christ, he lays down his earthly security because he's talking about his heavenly security, which I don't know if Schultz meant to have that symbolism in there or not, but it was still very interesting to see. And then he picks it back up and goes on about his business. But yeah, Charlie Brown Christmas all day long, especially against Polar Express.
All right, Brother Sam, do you agree with us, or do you want to be the naysayer?
No. I'm going to agree, but I do want to mention a side note that back when we used to decorate for Christmas, like all the other heretics, we had this glass dining table with a little divot inside the whole middle, and we had a train that would drive around, and we named that train the Bipolar Express. So that was a lot of fun.
The Bipolar Express. Okay, that's funny. Yeah.
So a Charlie Brown Christmas all day long. That is, to answer at least my opinion of Richard's question, yes, Charles Schulz knew exactly what he was doing when Linus dropped that blanket, because we are secure in Christ, and we absolutely know that. And in fact, I printed out the whole scripture here of that, because that's one of my favorite Christmas movies. Of all time, one of my favorite movies of all time. Whenever you get secular, I guess you would call it, movies that quote scripture, are theologically accurate, how can you not support that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So now moving down the list, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, Frosty the Snowman. Brother Sam, why don't you tell us what you would vote if you had to choose between those two?
Well, I'm going to go with the Grinch, because he's just evil, but Frosty's like this evil demon summoned from the depths of hell. So we've got to go with the Grinch. At least he's a bad guy who finds redemption ultimately through love, through through loving and caring about others, which is the greatest of all commandments, or the second is like it. The first is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Second is like it, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. So by loving his neighbor, the Grinch was able to find redemption. And I love the little dog. He's so adorable. I forget his name, but he's really cute.
Max. Okay. All right. Brother Richard, do I need to break a tie here, or are you...
No, you don't need to break a tie here, because I was going to go with the Grinch Stole Christmas as well over Frosty the Snowman. I mean, it's the Grinch. Okay. I never liked Frosty anyway, to be honest with you. And I agree with what Sam says, in finding the redemption. If you want to tie the Christian command into it, yes, he learns to love his neighbor as himself. So, And I love the song. I mean, it's got that awesome song by the James Earl Jones wannabe. I always thought it was James Earl Jones singing that. You're a foul one, Mr. Grinch, all that.
It's not. But,
no, it's not James Earl Jones. I looked it up. It's some other fella. The guy that narrates the film is actually, I think, singing that song, but it's not James Earl Jones.
It's Boris Carlyle, I think.
Boris Carlyle, that's the name. I couldn't remember the name to save my life, but yeah. He could definitely stand in for James Earl anytime.
I loved him in the Rocky and Bullwinkle series. He was great.
Awesome.
No, he wasn't really though. That was a bad joke.
Oh, anyway. Okay. I thought so, but I was like, okay, I'm not going to argue.
Another reason to kick Frosty right out of there is his lawless behavior, running right down the streets of town through a traffic cop, and he only paused a moment when they heard him holler, "Stop!" So
that sort of have been some magic in that old silk hat they found.
We cannot encourage that sort of lawlessness.
Okay. Well. All right. Last but not least, I want to speak first. I know I spoke first before, but I got to say this. I grew up going to my Aunt Wendy's house, and she had a videotape of Mickey's Christmas Carol, and it was the only version of Scrooge that I knew my whole childhood, until I got old enough to know that there were other movies. But for years, the only version I had of the Scrooge story was the Mickey version, and I still believe it's the best one. Oh, Ebenezer Scrooge played by the Disney characters. I love it. I hate Rudolph. I hate the Island of Misfit Toys. So I'm going to say Mickey's Christmas Carol wins it for me. You guys decide if I'm right or wrong.
Well, you hate the Island of Misfit Toys because you belong on the Island of Misfit Toys.
I agree.
So I'm going to go with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, because it addresses the seminal and classic topic of bullying. When the other reindeers wouldn't let him join in the reindeer games, I find that hurtful. So I think we have to address those topics and take them head on in the church, and we can't be afraid to do that.
All right, Brother Richard, you tie it or break it.
I despise Rudolph and the animation, the whole thing. Growing up, when that, I watched it when I was a kid and all, but it always, it was almost like watching a ghost story or something. It just, I always thought like Rudolph was creeping around the corner. It was weird, very weird. I didn't like it. So just on that alone, I've never liked the movie. And I agree with you on the Mickey's Christmas Carol. There's never been a better Ebenezer Scrooge than Scrooge McDuck. So we'll go with Mickey's Christmas Carol on that one.
All right. And I do think that that spawned the great DuckTales show. So you know, the Ebenezer Scrooge, Scrooge McDuck character. So, mm-hmm. So there's that. Okay. Now that we've got it down to three, we got to bring it down to two. So out of these three, let's just do a, let's see if the three of us can agree on what two we want to go head to head. Which one would you eliminate now? Seeing it on the screen, we got Charlie Brown Christmas, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, Mickey's Christmas Carol. Which two do you want to go head to head, and which one do you want to eliminate? I know where I'm at, but I'm going to let you guys tell me what you think.
I would toss out the Grinch because he only got through because he was up against Frosty the Demon Snowman.
Okay.
To eliminate?
Yes.
Yeah, you're going to have to break. You're probably going to break the tie here, Keith. I may have to, because there's so much representation of A Christmas Carol throughout this whole, these several categories. I like a dark character. I'm going to have to leave the Grinch in it and kick out Mickey's Christmas Carol.
All right. Well, as much as I love Mickey, I do, because we're talking about the category of classic, I don't think as many people have seen Mickey's Christmas Carol as have seen The Grinch or Charlie Brown. So I am going to kick out. I'm going to agree with you, Richard. I'm going to kick out Mickey, even though I love it. It's for me. It's the best. I'm going to kick him out. I'm going to leave these other two up, and we can come back in a moment and decide who's going to actually go to the final round. These are now the semifinalists. We're going to figure it out, and I can't get that any smaller for some reason, so we'll just put it there.
You guys are just tag-teaming me tonight. You are against me. You're like the Mean Girls, which is another great recent classic that wasn't included in here, and that's a great Christmas movie, The Mean Girls.
The Mean Girls, okay.
See, right. Let this be a lesson to you, Sam. It's all that trash talking you did before.
See, but other people don't know that he trash talked. Other people were not privy to that, but yes.
See, there's a lot of behind-the-scenes listener that goes on before these the round table.
Right. Exactly.
I can't even think right now.
You're just bribing him with Christmas tree cakes. That I know the truth.
I did get him two boxes not too long ago, but that had nothing to do with this.
You jerks.
All right.
Jerks are against me.
Well, listen, Richard has something that he wants to say about our final category. This category is Christmas action. It's Die Hard versus First Blood, Gremlins versus Lethal Weapon, and Batman Returns versus Scrooge. Now, Richard, what do you want to say about this beloved category?
I'm protesting this entire category. Because amongst this bunch, I've got three pages I've written out here. This is how much I can't stand people who argue that these are Christmas movies. So I'm going to lay it out there, and then I'm going to participate.
The people or just the argument?
No.
That hurts a
little. I'm sorry. I don't have a problem with the people. I have a problem with the argument. Let me rephrase it. I have a problem with the argument that these are Christmas movies. These aren't Christmas movies. So I'm going to lay it out there. You can agree or disagree. And after I've protested, I will then participate in helping pick. So we won't ruin it, but I want your listener to hear me out for a moment. So give me a few moments, and I'm going to lay this out here.
You got all the moments.
Amongst this bunch, there isn't a single qualified candidate. In this, or is it, this isn't even a legitimate category, because these aren't even Christian action. They're not Christmas action movies. They're just action movies. And the reason why, just give me a moment to defend that statement. The Christmas element within each of these movies isn't integral to the overall plot. In other words, the movie still plays if you remove the Christmas setting. And so here we'll go down the list. In Batman Returns, the only visible evidence that to the fact that it's Christmas time is the decorations in the background and the fact that the Ice Queen fell to her death and landed on the button to the Christmas tree at the tree lighting ceremony. This can easily be rewritten to any other time of the year. Plot doesn't change. The fact that it's Christmas time doesn't have anything to do with the plot. In Lethal Weapon, again, there's background decorations here and there, but the fact that it's Christmas has absolutely zero to do with the plot line. Zero. That this could be set on Arbor Day and it still plays the same. The only real mention of Christmas comes at the end when Riggs joins Murtaugh for Christmas dinner because Murtaugh didn't want to eat the worst Christmas dinner by himself. That's the only real reference to Christmas, and it's at the end of the movie. In Gremlins, the little Mogwai was purchased as a Christmas present. So I will say there, at least they tried to make an honest attempt to tie it into the season. But again, this could be rewritten as a birthday gift, and the plot still plays the same. And now in Die Hard, I will say, and it's the number one here in this list among the poll, I will say it is centered around an office Christmas party. So I will say that. But the fact that it's a Christmas party and Christmas time fades deep into the rear view once you get seriously into the plot. And honestly, Hans Gruber could have showed up with all his thugs at 4 p.m. on a random Friday, and you still got the same plot, because once John McClane found out his Holly was in trouble, he's going to show up and kick tail.
But her name is Holly, right there. Her name is Holly.
It doesn't matter, and Holly bushes are prickly, so I don't even like that. Anyway, okay. Rambo. Now, here was the interesting thing about Rambo. I couldn't even think of how it even tied into Christmas. I couldn't even remember a Christmas tree, nothing. I literally had to Google to find out how this is tied to Christmas. And apparently the little town of Hope was decorated for Christmas. But yes, because the Christmas theme is so weak in the movie, the tie-in, I didn't even remember it. And I've seen First Blood 1,000 times. I don't remember a light bulb, because there's so much action and stuff going on with the PTSD and Rambo going nuts on the sheriff, and you're wanting to see Will Teasel get his. You forget anything to do with Christmas. I don't even know how it made this list. So Scrooge is the only one that actually ties in Christmas to his plot, and that's because it's an adaptation of A Christmas Carol, which is the Dickens classic, which is the quintessential Christmas novella. But it don't even qualify to be in this category because it's not an action movie. It's about a self-centered, narcissistic TV exec. So if all it takes for a Christmas movie, for an action movie to be a Christmas movie, is to loosely set the movie at Christmas time or have some decorations in the background or whatever, then I guess if we were to discover that in the back of Sarah Connor's apartment there was a Christmas tree, I guess Terminator would be instantly a Christmas classic, right?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. See, that's the point.
No, absolutely.
So, what's the problem here?
Also, wait. I ain't done yet. Also, on a side note, not one of these movies was released at Christmas. They all got June, July, October, and March release dates. Only Scrooge was released in November, close to Christmas. So the studios didn't even try to make an attempt to market it as a Christmas movie. So it doesn't matter. Now
you looked up release dates. Okay.
Yes. Now I will say this. This is a serious issue for me with these Christmas movies. Now I will concede this concerning the Christmas plot has nothing to do with the movie, or the Christmas time has nothing to do with the plot. I will concede that even some indisputably Christmas classics, such as A Wonderful Life that we've been talking about in the previous episode, aren't set at Christmas time. If you know George Bailey, it spans like 20 years of his life. It starts when he was very young, and he ends up with a kid who's close to 13, 14 years old. So you're talking about 15, 20 years of time span. And in that time frame, you go through many seasons and stuff like that. So Christmas really wasn't the backdrop of the movie. The only real reference to Christmas comes when he's running through the town at the end of the movie. He's yelling Merry Christmas to buildings and people. And then you got the iconic scene at the end of the movie when he's standing next to the Christmas tree. And look, Day, a bell rings. Every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings.
Bad theology.
I understand. Yes, bad theology. But that's really only tie-in to Christmas. But that brings me to another element of a movie that makes it inherently Christmas. those moral and life lessons that we learn. The nostalgia, the emotional response is created as we journey with the characters as they struggle with the difficulties of life, only to be reminded of the beauty of it all. This happens with George Bailey, as we talked about in the previous episode. He's increasingly upset over his life and the pattern of his life, and he ends up just like his father, so to be able to travel and go everywhere. And it comes to a crisis point when he's looking at jail time, so he wants to kill himself, and he's wishing he'd never been born. So with the little help, bit of help from his angel Clarence, again, bad theology, he learns just how wonderful his life is. And it's even the same with old Kevin McAllister from Home Alone, which we haven't talked about yet.
No. You're taking my argument from me. But go ahead.
But he wishes that he didn't have a family, gets his wish, and in the end realizes how much of a blessing family is, so much so that he even talks to the old man that everyone's scared of. He supposedly killed everybody with a shovel and buried him in the salt or whatever he did. But the point is, he encourages that man to reach out to his estranged son. And at the end of the movie, you see the reuniting of him with his son. It's all these moral lessons. Any Christmas movie worth its salt invokes these types of emotional responses and life lessons that coincide with the overall meaning of Christmas and the thankfulness we should have for the blessings we receive in this life. And from the Christian perspective, we know we can give praise and glory to God for those blessings because they're ultimately from his hand. You get absolutely none of that from any of the movies in this category. Zero. They're simply action movies that just happen to have a nominal attachment to Christmas at best and aren't Christmas movies in the slightest sense. Period. So with all that said, I'll help you pick, but I'm picking in protest because these ain't Christmas movies. They just action movies with the backdrop of Christmas. That's all I got to say.
Wow. That's a lot. I'm glad you were able to get that off your chest.
I needed to get that off my chest.
I want you to know that you're in a safe place right now with people who care about you. So,
as the dude with his Rainbow Coalition bulbs on his house.
We care about you, man. We know that you're hurting deep inside and that you're lashing out against all these movies. And, you know,
I love the movies.
I thought it was interesting when you described Scrooge as a narcissistic TV executive who, you know, basically tears apart films and rips them apart and makes fun of them. I was going, huh, maybe that which we hate about others. So, I'm glad you're able to get that off your chest. Now let's fight about these films.
Oh, well, let me just for a moment have my say. Okay. You may have made your point about the movies, but let me say this. The same argument that you made against Die Hard can be made against the Kevin McAllister movie Home Alone. It can be made that movie, Christmas, was not the point of the movie. The point, even the heartwarming part that you brought up, that if the movie would have been set at Easter, if the movie would have been set during the
no summer, brother,
I don't think I just think
no, that you're missing.
That is Die Hard for kids. That's what that movie is.
You're missing the point of what I meant. Christmas had an integral part in the plot. Why were they going to Paris? Because his uncle had bought everybody a trip to Paris for Christmas. Why were the burglars there? Because it was Christmas time and everybody's going out of town and they're scoping the neighborhood. Christmas plays an integral part in the movie. But you don't have anybody traveling for Easter. People don't buy trips to Paris for Easter or Thanksgiving or any of that.
But why was
Christmas plays an integral part in the movie?
Why was John McClane at Holly's party, though? Because it was a Christmas party. Why did Hans Gruber come in? Because that's the only time when the rest of the building would be empty. So there is an integral plot point there.
Critical plot elements.
Yeah.
But it's a lot easier to rewrite Die Hard and change a Christmas party than the whole element of scoping out neighborhoods, Christmas gift to Paris to get everybody. It's a whole different ballgame, man.
Okay.
And here's the thing. 99% of your viewers will disagree with me 100%. It's okay.
That's
you're
good.
You're in the majority here, so it's okay.
I love that we can disagree and love each other. So let's go to the actual. All right, so I want to say this about the Stallone First Blood. It received zero votes. on Facebook.
Again, it shouldn't be here.
Should. There was a Christmas tree when Stallone was running out of the you know, when he's getting his knife and he's kicking the guy out the window. He runs by a Christmas tree. Later on, he's shooting the 50 caliber into the store. It says Merry Christmas. Okay.
Don't even remember it.
But I will concede the loss here. It didn't get one vote on Facebook. So unless brother Sam wants to try to convince me, I think Die Hard should go.
I don't think I can argue against Die Hard, but I do want to argue for First Blood. I think that First Blood is a quintessential Christmas movie. Right? It's John Rambo is seeking to bring gifts to Colonel Troutman. He says, "Troutman, I'm coming for you." Right?
Wait a minute, that's what he said. That's the wrong movie.
You're thinking of the second one.
That's part two, and he says, "Murdoch, I'm coming to get you."
He shot him hundreds of times. How can you say that's not a Christmas movie?
Okay, all right. For the sake of time, we've got to move on. Gremlins versus Lethal Weapon.
Lethal Weapon. I could care less about Gremlins.
All right, Sam, what's your thought?
Gremlins is an awful movie. Lethal Weapon is one of my favorite films of all time. Mel Gibson is the quintessential actor of our generation.
Is quintessential now going to be a theme of the rest of this conversation?
It's a quintessential word in our discussion. So, yes. Well,
let me say this. I think Lethal Weapon is actually qualifies under Richard's very strict rules. I think Lethal Weapon qualifies. It starts out with Riggs in a Christmas tree lot doing a drug deal. It ends with him fighting in a Christmas a home that's been decorated for Christmas, and the Christmas is a big deal in Lethal Weapon, more than you realize. If you go back and watch it, it's a bigger deal than Die Hard. I'm already kind of tipping my hand where I'm going to lean at the end of this thing, but to me, Lethal Weapon is a much more Christmassy action movie. All right, let's move to the third one.
Let me just ask a question: is Lethal Weapon the one where Danny Glover's sitting on the toilet?
That's part two. This is the one where he fights at the end with Mr. Joshua, and that's played by Gary Busey, back when he wasn't crazy Gary Busey like he is now. And they fight. They drive the car drives into the house and lands into a Christmas tree. There's a Christmas tree laying on the fire on the police car, and they fight, and there's Christmas lights in the fight. Like, they use them against each other. I mean, it's in the – there's so much Christmas in this movie, people forget it, but it's there.
But Christmas has nothing to do with the movie. It's just the backdrop. That doesn't make it a Christmas movie.
I make the same argument. I can make the same argument for other classics. But for that being said, we got to move on because of time. What about Batman? And I would say this, it's more than the lady falling on the button for Batman. The main character is introduced, Max Schreck, the main bad guy, is introduced as Santa Claus, giving out gifts to people in front of a giant Christmas tree. It's a wintertime movie. It's all, but anyway, in my opinion, I still think Scrooged is the better Christmas movie of these two. So I would vote for Scrooged, even though I love Batman Returns.
But if you're talking about Christmas action, it's not an action movie. So you got to go with Batman Returns if we're going to go with this list. I'm throwing off action. I'm going with Batman Returns because Scrooged is not an action movie.
What you think, brother?
Well, so the quintessential term in this category is Christmas. Quintessential. So we're going to say Scrooge is the quintessential Christmas movie, and there is action in it. you know, when he's being burned alive in the funeral pyre or, you know, whatever it is, and is flying around to the second floor. And I love the cab driver as one of my favorite when he screams, "Go back to Jersey, you moron!" That's one of the greatest lines in any movie ever. So I got to go with Scrooged on that one.
Well, hey, speaking of movies and language, I do want to make a point that some of these movies do have some serious language, but I grew up watching these movies on Saturday afternoon television. I have seen most of these movies censored as a kid growing up. I did not know some of them have the language that they have. Even Bruce Willis's catchphrase, which most people know what it is now, to me it was like Hippie by Day, Ricky Martin. It was something like that. It was
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Christmas.
Yeah, it was something like that. You know, so just keep that in mind. That those of you who say, "Well, I wouldn't watch these movies because of language," I grew up watching these Saturday afternoon when the language was beeped out, and so I understand if some folks wouldn't watch it because of the language, and that makes perfect sense. I wish that you could just buy the movies that way. I know there are companies like VidAngel that do that and do a good job. But anyway, let's move on. Let's say, okay, now we got three movies: Die Hard, Lethal Weapon, Scrooge. We got to get rid of one of them. And I think I know which one it is, but I'll let you guys decide which one's going to go. And then we got the quarterfinals.
Scrooged. My vote's Scrooge. Could get to the side when you up against those other two. It's got to be Scrooge. It's got to go.
I think Die Hard has to go.
I think. I can't breathe.
Hear me out. I just think that Die Hard is quintessentially not a Christmas movie. Whenever Hans Gruber's falling out the window. I mean, that's just sad that, you know.
I think you just wanted to say quintessential again.
I did. But also, really, you got these two titans, Lethal Weapon and Die Hard. How do you pick one of those two? So I think we gotta give the viewers a real choice between because they're Die Hard and Lethal Weapon are almost the same movie. They're almost equally awesome. Having those two in the finals against each other is like having the Dallas Cowboys versus the Dallas Cowboys, right?
Okay.
Well, both of the Dallas Cowboys suck anyway.
Okay. All right. Well, let's do this. I'm going to break the tie. I'm going to go with Scrooged and I'm going to make us have to fight over the two Titans. So we will fight the two Titans in just a moment, but let's go back to our animated classics. We got Charlie Brown Christmas, and we got How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Guys, this is a this is not easy, but I know where I'm at. I'm gonna let you guys decide, and if there's a tie, I'll break it. But if not, we'll move on. Who's taking it home?
I'll take it first here. These two films are one brings the gospel in word, the other brings the gospel in deeds. But I think the more clear gospel being preached is with A Charlie Brown Christmas. Linus literally calls attention to it. Bring up the lights. He gives the gospel as Richard noted earlier. He throws away his blanket. Our security is in Christ, not in some idolatrous object like a blanket. Even though the Grinch eventually does find redemption through love, it's not an explicit call to Christ. It's just this one of those secular sort of self-help kind of ideas. So I got to go with the Charlie Brown Christmas because it is pure gospel.
All right. My brother Richard, are we agreeing or disagreeing?
I'm agreeing 100% with Sam on this one. It's Charlie Brown Christmas. As much as I love the Grinch and I love a dark character, I can't go against a movie that literally quotes scripture and specifically the incarnation of Christ. So Charlie Brown Christmas all day.
All right. Charlie Brown Christmas is the winner. So right now we are looking at old classics is A Christmas Carol. Modern classics is Christmas Vacation. And under animated classics, it's Charlie Brown Christmas. That's three of the quarterfinals. Now for the final, and our quarterfinal matchup is going to be between either Die Hard or Lethal Weapon. I know where I stand. They're two titans of action movies. Brothers, Tell me which one's the winner.
Richard, would you like to go first, sir?
Yeah, I can go first. I'm looking at them and weighing the merits. I'm trying to be quick because we're short on time. I'm leaning toward Die Hard simply because of the fact that it's one man against a group, and it's just one of those that
it's been
I just like it. Yeah. I just like it more than I like Lethal Weapon, primarily because I've never warmed up to the character of Murtaugh. I love Riggs, but I've never warmed up to Murtaugh. Never did. But I've always liked Bruce Willis in the Die Hard series, so I'm going to go with Die Hard and let you two battle it out, whether it's Lethal Weapon takes the lead on this.
All right, Brother Sam, tell me what you want, brother.
So I'm having a tough time really deciding on this, and let me just talk this out. All right, I didn't write an 18-page essay.
Oh, my gosh.
So I appreciate Die Hard in that it's that sort of self-sacrifice, sacrificial love where he's, you know, doing all these incredible acts. This simple guy who's not 8 feet tall. He's not a super bodybuilder. He's just an average, ordinary guy who loves his wife. He sort of messed up that marriage. He's trying to just love her and care about her. But ultimately, Lethal Weapon, I think, is going to win my heart because you have Murtaugh and Riggs, but Riggs is the character that we identify with. He's the one who's broken. He's the one who's lost. He's the one who needs that sort of healing redemption that only Christ can bring. And I think that is more of a gospel-centered moral tale, even with lots of bullets.
And at the end of the movie, Martin Riggs gives Murtaugh a gift of the bullet that he was going to use to commit suicide. Gives him the, and it's wrapped. It has a bow on it. So it's a Christmas gift in a Christmas movie. It is the winner. Die Hard is dying hard on the vine. It is gone. Lethal Weapon has moved to the quarterfinals. We are now matched up perfectly. We have Christmas action movie, Lethal Weapon, animated classics, A Charlie Brown Christmas, modern classics, Christmas Vacation, and our old classic is A Christmas Carol. Ladies and gentlemen, we have ended the quarterfinal matchup, and we are set for tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you have enjoyed today, and I know this has been a longer than normal episode, but I pray that you've been with us this whole time. Thank you so much for watching today's program or listening to it on our podcast, and we look forward to having you tomorrow when we battle out these final four. May God bless your day.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Coffee with the Calvinist. If you enjoyed the program, please take a moment to subscribe and provide us feedback. We love to receive your comments and questions and may even engage with them in a future episode. As you go about your day, remember this: Jesus Christ came to save sinners. All who come to him in repentance and faith will find him to be a perfect Savior. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. May God be with you.